What's going on, guys? Alex Shunsky here for the Get More Clients Show, episode number 29. As always, thank you so much for joining us today. I am joined by POD Hall of Famer Dave Mulcahy. Dave, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Dude, I'm doing great. I'm so excited to have this interview with you. Very unique episode we're about to do. Obviously, the show is called Get More Clients, but today we're going to rename it to Get More Time. I think one of the most important things that most entrepreneurs kind of disregard is the value of our time. There's this meme that's been going around, Dave. I mentioned this last night on our Scale 7 call, and I don't even know if it's real or not, but Paul Walker of Fast and Furious fame, who unfortunately passed away, ironically, from a car accident like 8 years ago or something, which is insane how fast time goes by. There was this quote that's been going around recently on TikTok and Twitter and Instagram about Paul Walker said that someone in the hospital is wishing that they had your problems right now. And while we don't have to have the idea of the GMC show having a morbid reflection or mortality reflection on it, the idea of respecting your time and valuing your time is so important. Most often, though, what we hear, Dave, and what we both dealt with personally is people don't really respect it until they have some sort of cataclysmic life event. And hopefully today, when you're watching this or listening to this episode, you don't have to have some sort of cataclysmic life event. Perhaps this episode will spur you to the idea of focusing more on valuing time. Everyone that we work with in POD, they always say the same thing. I want to have time and financial freedom. And yet every decision that is made is for revenue focus, not time focus. So Dave, let's start there, because when we started working together, this was a real conundrum for you. You really wanted to have more time. You wanted to take Fridays off. You wanted to spend more time with your kids. You did have a personal health crisis, and you also had a very successful marketing agency that required a lot of your time. What were you dealing with at that point, trying to kind of identify what you want to spend your time on? Do I want more money? Do I want more time? What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, I think probably in about February when you and I started, you know, first connected. And at that time, my nanny had just quit. I was getting up. My wife and I both work from home. She's an attorney, you know, like a 2000 billable, you know, a year attorney. So her schedule's a little less flexible than mine was. And we got three kids that we were homeschooling. And so the nanny had quit. So we were, I was getting up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and just trying to get as much work as I could done before the kids got up. And then just trying to squeeze in everything during the day. And it was pretty stressful. You know, I'd say the most stressful thing was having to deal with client calls and I was still trying to do sales calls, because I'm in these programs, you know, that are talking all about, you know, just keep growing. And that was kind of the mindset I was in, was I got to make more money. Even though we were at a pretty stable income, I've had my agency about, I think, 10 years. It'll be coming up on 10 years.
Congrats.
So yeah, thanks. But really like it was a job before, you know, so it's just probably in the last year that it started to become a little bit less of that. So that's where I was, just working all the time and just trying to grab as much money as I could. And I think the nanny had just quit, and I was sitting here trying to figure out how to hire a new nanny, which was really stressful during COVID. I've got health issues. We got three kids, trying to find somebody that can not only be a nanny, three kids under five. So you got to like teach the older two were teaching. It was just like a lot of juggling, you know?
So interesting to bring that part up, like the idea of, you know, having so much to deal with personally and professionally. I think when we talk about business, especially in the GMC, sometimes there's like a disregard of the time responsibility for personal stuff. Like somehow the personal stuff becomes secondary. And yet I think any person you would speak to, right, if you identify their filters of importance of life, like everyone would say personal stuff comes first, but in actions, it seems like business comes first. Have you seen that issue as well?
That's the way I've always been, for whatever reason, you know? So I remember getting out of college, and my wife laughs, because I got out of college and it was like, I couldn't find a job. It was like 2009, right? So like the crisis was still going on where jobs were scarce. And so I went into like construction, doing mold remediation, because I was just like, I just got to get a job, you know? And then at night I was like stocking liquor shelves, just, you know, growing. When you grow up with parents that work multiple jobs, I think that's just kind of the thing that you become. And I remember her telling me at one point, like, she was just going to law school, just started law school. And she's like, I will pay you to stay home just one night and just like hang out and watch a movie, you know, because I was just working all the time. And I think I fell into that with an agency too, which is a trap that I think a lot of people don't talk about.
I think it is. I think it's because of what you were talking about, like a lot of basically like gurus online or people that are looked up to even at the highest level, like Tony Robbins, Grant Cardone, like those types of people, they're always talking about this idea of having to grow more, because I think like contentment is this word that became this very negative affirmation instead of something like, it doesn't have to be contentment. It should be striving for satisfaction, like striving for happiness, striving for your definition of success. And I find that a lot of times the problem with it is that people haven't defined what that is. So it's a never ending goal, right? Like you're constantly moving the goalpost of what happiness is or what success is or what enough is. So we're constantly seeing ideas of you're not growing fast enough. You're not scaling more. And I'm part of that problem too, by the way. Obviously, I'm certainly not immune to it. I try very hard in POD to have sort of this anti-hustle movement and try to build out this satisfaction. What was the transition for you and what has it been? Because I don't think it's over. I still think there's always going to be some dissonance of like, I want to have satisfaction, but I also want to grow. How have you kind of worked your way into this model of I'm comfortable with the anti-hustle, but I also still want to grow? Like, what's the dissonance there? What are you learning? What are you building? What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think first it just came down to writing down what was essential and what, you know, what's most important to me and what's not. I was putting my clients above my kids a lot of the time. Like I wasn't teaching them or doing the things that I needed to do with them because I had to do a sales call. You know what I mean? Or I need, or a client, you know, needed something added to their website that really isn't urgent, but I would always put their needs ahead of ours. So I think it just comes down to that first choice of what is most important to you and what, you know, making that hierarchy, actually put it down on a piece of paper and say, okay, this is what my hierarchy is. Kids come first, you know, kids and wife come first. And I guess even we've had this discussion, right, that, you know, we actually have to put ourselves first.
Yeah,
before having the wife and kids, which I still butt heads with a little bit, but
and I agree, and I'm with you on it. I think there's always dissonance. I tell this to you guys all the time in Scale 7. Like I'm relatively a new dad. You have a couple more years on me. You know, I'm 6 months in. I made a commitment to Shira, my wife, before Ellie was born, that having Ellie will have me have a redefined focus in my life to be able to like spend more time with him. But here we are, kind of 6 months later, and it feels like maybe I'm working more or just as much, but I certainly don't feel like I'm keeping that promise to Shira in terms of prioritizing him. And what I've found is, I think you and myself and many other people that will resonate very strongly with this episode, I think what I found is that what we do is we justify it in our minds, that the filter of priority always is kids or yourself or wife or partner or husband or whoever it might be, then business. But by doing the business task first, in a kind of fucked up way, it's actually prioritizing them because that's the thing that's going to make you money, to put the food on the table, which is like really twisted, super messed up, right? And I don't think like non-entrepreneurs get it. Like I wonder, say, for example, your wife or a, you know, companion, like a coworker of your wife listens to this podcast as an attorney. Do they go to sleep like worrying about the case? Like, do they really clock out? Like, I don't know, but it feels like this is such like a entrepreneurial struggle. You have a different angle perhaps maybe on that.
I think attorneys are probably pretty similar. She's not, luckily. She is, she's more of the 9-to-5, and just recently about, you know, right before COVID got into the 2000 hour, you know, billable thing, which she's, you know, it's a struggle when you go from kind of laid back 9-to-5 to going into that life. So,
right.
But at most of the people she worked with are emailing her and calling her at 1 o'clock in the morning, like those kind of things, you know, and clients call whenever they want. And so I don't think it's just an entrepreneurial thing, although, you know, maybe attorneys are kind of entrepreneurial, but I think it falls into that. It depends on what barriers and what borders you put up, what guidelines you allow the clients to push through. But real fast going back, I said the same thing. I got into this after reading the 4-hour work week. I said, I really want to do that. I want to travel. I want to do all this stuff. And I thought I'd make a bunch of money before having kids. And then my wife and I could travel. And we never really got there, right? We ended up having kids. And I think now I thought I would slow down more, but I think I picked up because I think there's a little legacy. Like, what are you going to build that you can pass on to them? Right. And, you know what I mean? And that there's pressure there. There's definitely room in there, I think, for some in the space for some, you know, parenting, your entrepreneurs,
I agree,
and parents.
I agree. I think I was grossly unprepared and incredibly excited, and I'm learning very quickly on the job, but it seems like every new parent has that same experience. Brian, obviously, yeah. normal co-host, he's got his baby girl on the way in February. So that's pretty exciting. And all that I can think about is how exciting it is. And wow, he has no idea what he's in for. So it's pretty interesting how that happens. So Dave, what I remember from our first meeting in February was this really strong desire to not just focus on more revenue, but to focus on, I really want to free up my time and build out systems and processes. And one of the biggest things was that you wanted to take Fridays off, specifically in the summer, and be able to spend time with your kids on the pontoon boat, which you've been able to achieve and has been such a victory. And it's so special to me that in POD, like, that victory is akin or even greater than the Dave mentioning, I got this $2,000 new client. Like, the idea of taking Friday off and spending time on a boat is so much more powerful than it is if, you know, I made this more money. And I think we're all jaded on the idea. We all have the rose colored glasses that the Stripe notification is like the best serotonin hit possible, but really is it, like, truly is it, when you compare it to the time spending with your kids without, what's the word, like, without feeling bad about it, I guess, or guilty the next day? That's kind of the key. How has that experience been for you? How did you end up getting to the point of being able to free up that day?
The first step is I just made the decision. I think we've been talking about it for a while, my wife and I, about doing it. We thought about doing it last year, and then it was like, no, there's no way we're going to be able to do this with COVID and with everything else. And then this year I was like, oh, we don't have the nanny. We're not going to have time. And I just decided to do it. You know, and unfortunately, even she hasn't been able to join me for most of them just because of her schedule, which, you know, she's working on. But I've just taken the kids and just said, Fridays, I'm out. Like, that's the way it is. And
made the decision.
Put that barrier. That's it. You know what
I mean? Like, and then, Parkinson's law, right? Like, if yep. you're saying Friday, I'm off, that means I have Monday through Thursday to do the work I got to do. So I'm just going to get it done. Is that kind of the motto?
100%. Yeah. Yep. And I try not to, I get up in the morning and I just knock out a few things, make sure the team's set up. But and like, cause I'm just like a, you know, 5, 6 AM get up kind of person anyway. So I just get up and get my things done. But by like 9 AM, you know, the kids and I are out the door heading up to the lake.
I love that.
And that's just been the way it's been for the last couple months.
It's so special. So
step one, make the decision.
I have a question for you that I didn't expect. What's that like for your kids? What has that been for them?
I think they're loving it, especially kind of being trapped in the house. You know, we do stuff, we go out to the parks and we do stuff around here, but you know, we haven't been able to do the Dells trips and, or, you know, Wisconsin Dells up here is I'm in Illinois. So that's, you know, kind of something you grew up with as a kid doing. And we haven't been able to, you know, travel anywhere that we've wanted to. We're doing a trip actually this, we just booked it for November, December. We're gonna go down to Florida and try to get out of the cold.
Hey-o. So, welcome to my neck of the woods. It's very hot. I can attest. It is extremely hot outside. You know, this story reminds me of something that I dealt with Brian recently on. It wasn't that recent, probably 6 months ago. I slept in one day, but this was definitely before Ellie was born. So it was more than 6 months ago, because I don't know what sleeping in is anymore. but I don't think I ever understood what it was prior. But anyways, I think I woke up maybe, let's say, at like 9, and I didn't get up to my desk to work for POD at 9:30, 9:45. And I texted Brian an apology. I was like, hey, B, I'm sorry. I was late today. I didn't get on until now. And he texted me back. Such a powerful message. He said, late on whose terms? Yeah. It's your business, bro. Who said you're late? Like, you didn't have a call you missed. You didn't do anything wrong. What are you late for? And it's such a powerful thing. I think, again, like, there's such a societal construct around work that even entrepreneurs that are building their own business and their own company, they kind of fall into this trap of like a 9 to 5 or a Monday through Friday, or I have to have this kind of model, or I have to grow more, I have to build more. Has that dissonance also been something you've dealt with, like feeling like you're kind of constructed into a certain environment and, but breaking free and creating freedom is what you initially wanted anyways?
I think so. I mean, like I said, I originally got into the 4-hour work week. So now it's just put that goal back in front of me. And, you know, like, that's my North Star, is to get to the point where I can work not 4 hours a week. I don't know if that's as practical as it is, but you know, my goal right now is by the end of quarter 3 to be at 4 hours a day, 4 hours a day working. I know you, some of the marketing, you said 1 hour. I was like, I haven't gotten there yet. I'm working hard.
Hyperbole is necessary in marketing. It's required.
I think the fly hitting the glass too, like a little, okay, probably that's a little closer to me than working 1 hour a day, but I'm getting there, you know, and one step at a time.
I mean, going from 60 hours plus per week to around 4-ish a day, like, what has that experience been like for you in terms of the mental anguish? Have you kind of, obviously the actual delivery in terms of time management's been better. What about the mental side? Like, have you felt guilty about it? Have you felt good about it? What's that experience been?
I kind of pull back and forth, right? We call it Jekyll and Hyde, where I really want to grow the business and I want to hit 100K months, just, you know, as an arbitrary number. and grow this up for the team. And then there's other parts of me that just like, I'm really content. And I think it goes week to week. Like I got to figure out a way to be less emotional about it and less up and down. Cause the summer is really easy to be able to be on the boat and say, I don't want to worry. I don't care if we sign another client for another 6 months. Like what's most important is just spending time with the family, but obviously we've got a team and we got to keep the thing going. So there's definitely a pull back and forth that I'm still figuring out. I don't know the balance yet.
I don't think it is ever going to be like a surefire balance. I think it's being comfortable in the moment, right? I think that's the idea. One thing that I've learned and I think is a really valuable lesson for today's GMC show is this idea of like kind of a four-step process that you've been through and that most entrepreneurs go through. I have a book back here that's talking about building a business, not a job. But I think most people start off with that intention, but they really just end up building a job. So it starts off with the person actually doing the job, right? That's what you were doing, Dave doing the job, then building a system so that someone else can do the job. And then once you have the system, hiring someone to use the system to do the job so that now you don't have to do the job, someone else doing the job and you're building a business, right? Those three things said are seemingly easy. As we both know, number two and three, building the system and doing the hiring, pretty challenging. Doing the job itself, usually not as challenging, except for, you know, taking up your time, which is the shitty part. But the fourth one that's really interesting that I don't think I anticipated initially when I started my own company was willingness to do it. Like the willingness. And I think that was something that you had a little bit of a challenge with too. Like you wanted to give it away, but you also wanted to not have them have bad work. How has that kind of been for you?
Yeah, I'm kind of a control freak. So I was like, you know, I think we all are, right? So we want to make sure the product is going out and is in the right way. And so at some point I just had to make a decision and say the team, everything was stopping at me. I was the bottleneck for clients coming in. I was the bottleneck for work going out. And at some point I just had to pick it up and say, I'm out, like let that thing start flowing, you know, without me holding up the middle. So, and I did it mostly for, we have a, I guess you call it a Frankenstein agency, right? Where we have a lot of, we have plenty of clients under $500. And then it was about 75% of our clients about 25% of our clients are a little bit, are above that, but the 75% is under that with these monthly plans that we run. And so I just had to pull myself out of communication on those. That was the easiest way for me to be able to step out. Cause you know, they're typically the neediest clients and, they're the ones that want your time the most. They're the ones texting you and calling you. So we just had to put some boundaries in place and, And I just had to let my team do it and just say, don't send it to me to approve it, you know, graphic design, don't send it to me to approve it, just send it to the client and let's see what the client says. And, I was like protecting my clients and just trying to make sure they had a good experience, but at that price point, I just couldn't do it any longer.
So that fear that was initially there was broken down because ultimately the reality of what your goal was more important than the fear of losing the client. In reality, what ended up happening? Did you lose clients? Was it a struggle? Did it end up being easier than you thought? What has that experience been?
We've lost two, you know, out of 65 or so on those.
And those are pretty good numbers.
That's not bad. And I think they would have left anyway. Like, I don't think it really had anything to do with what we were doing. I still have a couple that still text me and, you know, it's still, there's a training process. I just tell them like, if you want faster service, you got to go through this. And I'll wait a couple of days sometime. Like if Friday I got a work phone, I just set it on the table and that's it. I don't touch it till Monday morning. So if you have something important you got to do, you got to send it into our support center and let our support team take care of it.
Love it.
And yeah, some haven't liked it, but yeah, I don't know. Like it's that choice, right? That comes down to, and I said this at the beginning, our first conversation, I remember something where I was like, okay, I can work with this guy. Cause you said, why aren't you charging more? Why aren't you doing this? And I said, I really like my clients. Why aren't you getting yourself out of it? Well, I want to make sure they get results. Like I like my clients. And you're like, do you like them more than your family? Basically, cause you're choosing them every single time over your family for what, like $100. I was like, yeah, that's a good point. You know? So again, it goes back to writing down that hierarchy of what's most important.
I think to further that point, right? Like just for $100, what if it was for $1,000? Yeah. What if it was for $5,000? What if it was for $10,000? What is the hierarchy? I think a lot of people have a really hard time with this, me included, by the way. So I don't want to like be on a high horse that I figured it out. I just shared earlier in this call that I certainly haven't. I actually flew down Jen Wright, our operations manager from Colorado to Florida, to kind of watch what I'm doing on Mondays, because I kind of fill the gaps with time instead of filling the gaps I have to spend time with Ellie or spend time with Shira or spend time for myself. Because I think the ultimate reality is, and I've said this many times before, telling someone the advice, Dave, is always easier than doing the advice, because ultimately, Dave, you're smart enough to understand this concept. Anyone watching this GMC show is like, oh, I definitely understand the concept. But then they stop listening to the GMC show. They have time available today, and then they fill it with work instead of doing something for themselves, instead of doing something with their family. I think the inherent idea here is realizing and being okay with the reality and having an umbrella of forgiveness for yourself that it takes time. But when push comes to shove, at some point, you've got to make progress towards it. It's not a Band-Aid that you rip off. Dave is not coming on here, or me coming on here today and saying, we changed it by one magical thing happening. It's more so a willingness to do it and the willingness of the consequences and feeling comfortable either way, knowing that at the end of the day, the most important thing to you is always actually going to be your family. It's always actually going to be your personal health, not the amount of money that your clients are giving you, not some scenario of I have to be available 24/7. And I think a lot of people really need to hear that. And that's why in the Get More Client Show, like the name, it's always kind of bothered me because it's not really who I am. I'm not really about the let's constantly get more clients. It's more of this marketing hyperbole that we're talking about. But it really, my mindset of the show is really two things. It's like keep more clients and be happy with your business. Like that's the entire idea. And that's what I think I'm working towards. And I think it's not super tangible, but Dave, but in the time that we've worked together, I can see just in your face, in your words, in the communication you have, your stress level has gone down significantly and your satisfaction level has gone up significantly. So like, frankly, who gives a shit what the money difference is in 6 months? Yeah. As long as bills are paid, things are good and everything's fine. And I'm open to hearing kind of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, man, it's hard. Like you see all these people talking about the landed clients, getting new clients. And like the 50% of me is always there. Like I want to add more clients. I want to add more revenue. But I just couldn't PODs prospect. I've stopped prospecting altogether. Like I had to stop for a while and just, you were talking about sleep too. There was, if anybody with some of my health stuff, if anybody's been on prednisone, I was just coming off of a prednisone cycle. And it's like in the last month, there's days where I slept like 12 hours and you just have to sleep, you know, and luckily my wife knows that, and you just got to start listening to your body and doing it. But I'm working with a nutritionist and doing whatever I can to get my health right, because that's ultimately what's most important. You know, I did everything else doesn't really, I guess what happens if I didn't change, my health would continue to deteriorate. I wouldn't get as much time with my kids as I really wanted to. And I was really not being a good business owner, and I was not being a good dad at all. You know, I was snippy with them because I wasn't getting enough sleep, because I was getting up super early. I wasn't really facilitating my business well. I wasn't being the leader that my team needed me to be, and still working at that every single day and making sure that, you know, I've got a team member now that's, he just recently told me he's going through some migraines, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, we got to get you onto a better sleep. So working with them now, I'm making sure that their health is good, because it flows down, you know, and if they're not healthy, the business isn't going to run. So I got to make sure that they're staying healthy too, on top of me and my family, you know.
Love it. I think there's just like a strong moral obligation from what we're talking about in the DMC show today to really prioritize the appropriate things and try to avoid the highlight reel that I think social media has made us so accustomed to. That's really been very challenging for, I think, a lot of people. I think a lot of people in general, Dave, at least that I know, are genuinely good people. Obviously, I know there's plenty that are not, but most of the people I've met in this network of, you know, entrepreneurs online and agency owners are good people. And good people also have bad feelings, being upset about someone else's success or feeling like competition cycle that you never really wanted to feel, or prioritizing something that shouldn't have been prioritized. Not because you're a bad person, but because of the kind of construct you're put into with Facebook and Instagram and success stories. And I'm part of that problem. I'm aware of that. And I try hard to not continually manufacture that problem. I try to promote different things. Like on this show, we're not talking about Dave going from 40 to 100K in 3 weeks. Here's the magical pill of how he did it. You got to do it. And if you're not, you're the worst and you're failing. But more so like, here's how Dave prioritized his kids over his business. And here's how Dave freed up time and focused on his health. And here's how Dave was able to go on a pontoon boat instead of talk to another client about a stupid ass website change that he wanted. And I feel like that's different. And I feel like, I hope something you take from this is that idea. You know, one of the things we talk about in POD, Dave, and every sales call that we do, is that we're a boutique mentorship program, that we don't want to work with more than 60-ish clients at a time, because our business is built to scale your business, not built to scale our business. And I say that because I want it to also be true as much as it is true, right? If I had an opportunity for 20 new clients to come in at once, what would I really do at that point, right? it's easy to say, but then when opportunity provides itself, it's different. That's the same idea of saying $100 isn't worth it. Is $10,000 worth it? And I'm not saying either or. I'm not suggesting whether or not it is. I think you, the individual, Dave, and then you, the listener, have to decide, like, what is your barrier? We're all in this, of course, to create more time freedom and financial freedom. And usually the financial freedom is to spend more time with your family and friends. I will leave with this and then let Dave kind of sign off here. Obviously, I had open heart surgery, as most of you know, almost a year ago, which is insane. October 15th will be a year. And I remember being wheeled into the OR, and my main thought process at that time was, I have more to give. And the last thing on the list of I have more to give was to my clients. And I love my clients, as Dave knows. I love these people. I consider them friends, consider them family. But of course, the first thing was, I have more to give to my wife, and I have more to give to my unborn son, and I have more to give to my parents and my brothers. And you don't have to have some sort of cataclysmic life event for something like this to hit you. If you need to get off social media, unfollow people that are causing you strain and anxiety, and just focus on what you got to do, then do it. No one's going to judge you for it, and it's going to make you better. And I think Dave is a better, more healthy person mentally because of these decisions, even though today it's still challenging. And I think that is the purpose of why I want to do this interview, Dave.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I think my message would be, yeah, I mean, I had the same, like, right, like a lung cancer scare. And so, like, just spend more time with your family, because it's crazy when when you're like making that decision, like, could this actually be, you know, could I have, like, all of a sudden there's a finite time on the amount of time you have. And when you start thinking about putting yourself in those shoes and thinking, okay, I only have this much time left, it screws with you, you know what I mean? And you don't come back from it. You change. So you do. Spend more time with your family. That's what matters.
And transparently to you, Dave, like, that's where my brain has been at the last, you know, couple of weeks. Like, wow, I'm coming up on a year. Like, it felt very strong at the point of the surgery of what I need to focus on. But as time moves away and you move away further and further from that health scare you had, you kind of move back closer to the person you was prior. And I don't want to ever be that person again. And I don't want to ever have to have another finite scare of, this is where your timeline is. And I think that's why I want to consistently remind myself of it, consistently remind our clients of it, consistently remind you, the listener, of it, because I promise you, nothing will ever be more important than your health, than your family's health, than the people that you care about most. Do not prioritize business over it. Create the time freedom. Listen to what Dave is talking about on this call today. Make the decision is ultimately the biggest thing. In terms of execution, it's going to be systems. It's going to be willingness. It's going to be trust in your team. And yeah, probably going to lose some clients. And yeah, you probably won't make as much money as you did before. But frankly, who gives a shit? It's all good either way.
It's inspired me too to try to find clients that are in the similar mindset, you know, that aren't going to be calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning, or, you know, whatever time, because they're spending time with their family, or they're getting their sleep and they're doing their thing. So
I love that. That's super valuable. Find clients that are like you, attract the client that you want. Brian talks about that all the time. Guys, I really hope you enjoyed today's GMC show, a little bit of a different angle. We miss Brian, of course, but we hope that you enjoyed it. You can find us on your favorite podcast apps, on Apple and Spotify and whatever weird podcast app you listen to. YouTube, you can find our show and the clips as well. As always, please hit that like or love or subscribe button. Write all your comments below, including the negative ones. They help us too. So we're good either way. Dave, appreciate you, man. So grateful for
you.
Love you. Have an amazing rest of your day. And guys, we'll see you on the next one.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks.